The besieged Syrian city of Homs. Now, the United Nations is appealing to warring factions, the government and the rebels, to extend further a weekend humanitarian ceasefire. The idea is that it will mean that those who want to leave the war-torn city can be evacuated. So far, more than 1,000 people have left the city. This was under a truce. Aid workers and evacuees, though, say that they came under fire yesterday. And there's concern that this has been raised now over the detention of hundreds of men by government sources. What exactly is going on? It's difficult to say. I'm joined now by Patrick J. McDonnell, who's the bureau chief for Beirut of the Los Angeles Times. He's not in Beirut at the moment. He's actually in Damascus. Patrick joins us now. I appreciate your time, Patrick. What can you tell us about what's actually going on? What's the latest in Homs?
Well, I'm actually heading to Homs right now, but it's supposedly the third and possibly final day of this evacuation, which is basically stretched, as you said, over 6 days. And, we'll see what happens today. As you said, about 1,000 people, more than 1,000, have come out so far, far more than were expected. There are about 300 fighting-age men who've come out. That's roughly between the ages of 15 and 55. And they're all being subject to questioning. And the government has given indications it was going to be lenient with those who kind of agreed to not take up arms and pledge loyalty to the government. But all that kind of remains to be seen, and we're expecting more people to come out today.
Well, yes, but if there are reports that people are being fired on as they leave, and I think the implication is fired on from government forces, you can correct me if that's not true, then that is a very serious breach. I mean, it's very hard to evacuate people under those circumstances. Are we able to confirm any of those details?
Well, it is a very serious concern, and there was substantial firing both on Sunday and on Friday and on Saturday, and there were many breaches of the initial ceasefire. There were as many as 10 people killed, and we really don't know for certain who fired those mortars and those gunshots at the aid convoy. I really do not think that is clear at this point. Each side has blamed the other, and I think everyone's waiting to see whether it will go off today without a hitch or whether there will be some more attacks.
How many people are we looking at who'd want to leave?
Well, nobody really knew. The old city of Homs is a very compact area, maybe 1.5 square miles, perhaps. It encompasses several neighborhoods. But they were very densely populated. Most people fled 2 years ago. So the best estimates, there may be as many as 2,500 people inside. That was before the evacuations. And so 1,000 are out. There may be 1,500 back. But really, it's kind of a guesstimate.
Where are they going?
That's a good point. Many of them have family members elsewhere in Syria or at Homs. The government has said they're free to go where they want to go. And the government is setting up shelters for some number of them who do not have a place to go.
Now, these young men who have been trying to leave but have been stopped by government forces, what can you tell us about them, who they are and why they're being stopped?
Well, I think they're being stopped because the government wants to be sure that they're not people who took up arms and that they're now loyal to the government. I think that's the government's feeling about it. We don't know who they are. We happen to be there as many of them were coming out, and the Syrian army forces whom we were with were visibly perturbed to see young men coming out. It was somewhat of a surprise when they first came out on Sunday. 130 of them came out that day. So that was a surprise. Some Syrian army and some pro-government folks weren't happy about the idea of them getting out. But the government has indicated it's going to take a lenient tone to questioning, and if these people pledge loyalty and agree not to take up arms, apparently let them go free. That remains to be seen, but that seems to be what indication the government is giving.
Seems an unusual thing for the government to do, because it wouldn't be hard to pledge loyalty and leave, even if you were anything but loyal to the government.
Very good point. I think that's something they're concerned about. The government in Syria has had an ongoing process that they refer to as a reconciliation process. Thousands of people have taken these pledges. Some have gone back. Some have not taken up arms again. Some have. Some have actually joined government forces. So, like a lot of things in Syria, it's very opaque in terms of what is going to happen with this.
Now, this agreement, the ceasefire, is one of the very, very few, very modest things that maybe came out of the talks between the two sides that happened recently. The talks themselves were seen as a bit of a miracle, even if they didn't really achieve much. Given that it hasn't necessarily gone that well and you have people being fired on in these circumstances, I mean, does this really just entrench the sense of pessimism that surrounds the conflict at the moment and the sense that any breakthrough might be possible?
I don't know about that. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. I think some people look at it that way. I mean, I think another way, I mean, to say, I mean, for those of us who've been covering Syria, I think we're trying to look for some glimmer of hope because it's been such a devastating scenario here. And, you know, one could say that, okay, nothing concrete has been accomplished in Geneva, but at least you have two sides sitting together and talking. That's some kind of an accomplishment. In Homs, which was blockaded for the better part of 2 years, you have you have some kind of agreement between the government and the opposition, which allowed the evacuation of some number of civilians. So, I mean, one can also take a somewhat optimistic view of that in a constellation of events in which there's very little to frankly feel good about.
Mm. And once the evacuations are complete, or at the very least the ceasefire ends, is aid going to be able to get into Homs?
Well, they've already brought some aid in. They brought some aid in on Saturday for sure, and I believe they brought some in on Sunday. So they've been able to. There will undoubtedly be some residual population staying there, whether they're rebels, their families, or people who just don't want to leave. We don't know. So they have been able to bring aid in, and I think the UN is insisting on a more consistent aid delivery process to bring food and other needed supplies in.
Just before I let you go, do you know anything about this draft UN resolution on Syria aid? I understand that Russia has vetoed it in its current form. Do we know what it says?
You know, that's happening in New York, and I just know generally that there's been, you know, I think there's been an effort by the United States and some other countries to kind of put more pressure on the Assad government to open up humanitarian corridors. And I think the Russians and their Syrian allies kind of view this as a slippery slope towards some kind of foreign intervention. So, I mean, the Russians have veto power, so it seems unlikely to pass the Security Council, but, you know, maybe they'll work out some kind of compromise.
Well, we'll see. They might have to do some more drafting. I understand Australia actually drafted the resolution along with Jordan and Luxembourg, so we're in the Security Council. This is a moment to make a contribution, and we'll see whether or not we actually can. Patrick, look, I know your time's limited, and you're about to head out the door and head to Homs. Stay safe. Thank you very much for speaking to us.
My pleasure, Willie. Thank you so much.
Patrick J. McDonnell, who's the bureau chief in Beirut for the Los Angeles Times, speaking to us there from Damascus. He's about to head to Homs.